some swear words translate approximately, but swearing in general is cultural and so therefore limited by the language. So there's rarely a one-to-one translation. Mm-hmm. However, there are a few maybe substitutes that would, yeah, that would come pretty close.
Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, scrambling for my show notes once again the People's Republic of Portland, nestled heart of Cascadia.
We're the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective that includes countries north and south of us, and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering day-to-day life. I started going by the old school one because look at this is the first
classic
time this has happened to me.
Oh wait, what
on
does
the
it
Google
say?
Google Drive, backup photos and videos on this device to your Google Photos library.
That's bullshit. Unless it means that I get more free storage space, that means it's awesome.
I don't have free storage space. I'm already paying for it.
Oh, okay.
I paid for the extra, like, whatever gigabytes for Google.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a dumb move, but I had to do it to get the Oregon Outback stuff on there.
Oh, right. Okay.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, simpler living. And today, we got a whole bric-a-brac of stuff, like you
today,
said.
Today,
bric-a-brac. Countries north and south of us.
That's my favorite label. I believe it's at the Salvation Army when you go secondhand shopping or popping tags.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As one might say. Bric-a-brac is one of the categories of things that you can purchase things in or from
lots
the Salvation
of precious
Army.
Moments. Lots mm-hmm. of precious moments with the nose chipped off of the kid.
Oh, right. Yeah, which automatically takes at least $5 to $10 off the shelf value of said precious moments figurine.
I thought you were actually talking about precious moments.
Oh, like this is a precious moment.
Yeah, yeah.
No, we're actually talking about precious moments, the product line.
not so precious.
We are in the studio with we didn't introduce it.
No, we did not.
What's the term for having spoken before being introduced? Which is not, it's okay that you did so. I just don't know what to call it.
Pre-funk? I don't know.
Yes.
Something like that.
To answer to everything.
I'm Kirk Paulson.
This is Kirk Paulson.
Yeah.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great.
Yes. And Aaron, also. Not the Aaron Flores that we all know and love, but another
Aaron. Aaron.
Yes, Aaron Goodell.
Hello. Good to see you.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. You two are in custody. Or no, the dog is in your custody. Are you in custody of the dog?
You are custodians of.
That's
we
right.
Are.
Yeah, actually, she does control some aspects.
Okay.
She really does.
And this is Cordelia, who is making herself at home on the studio floor.
I could make her speak.
Should we do speak?
It's totally up to you.
Yeah, let's do a little quick speak.
Will she be happier if she does?
Maybe. At least when she gets a treat.
It would make us happier.
Okay. I like that you travel. You roll with treats.
Oh, yeah.
Speak.
Oh. What?
Speak. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty
good. Hey, Cordy, what's up?
Okay, here
you go.
Enjoy your
treat. I think they'll show up in the recording.
Yeah,
it'll,
no kidding.
It'll pick it up.
Yeah. Beautiful. So we're all here together in the studio, as is our wont every week.
Every week.
Mr. Flores.
By clockwork.
What do we do this weekend?
Just a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
I made a mud angel.
You did.
Nice.
You did really well.
I wiped out in Laurelhurst Park, and
I
gotta turn
right.
my machine down. That's what
right.
happens.
That's what happens.
This is
Larry.
What happens, Larry, when I don't pay attention to my.
We went to a sponsored event. It was sponsored by the same people that sponsor us.
That's right.
Yeah, it's
the Beer Mongers.
The Beer Mongers at Southeast 12th and Division, Southeast Division and 12th.
There you go.
This is a can of something that we acquired over there not too long ago, and it's real Hawaiian beer, they say.
Ooh.
Yeah, the Maui Brewing Company, the Doppelshot Double Bock.
I did not realize this was from Maui Brewing Company.
This is tricky because it's a Doppelshot Double Bock, but it's a style Double Bock. So I think they're going back and forth between languages. This is a multilingual beer. Anyways, we are enjoying beverages now, thanks to the Beer Mongers. We also enjoyed an event.
Yes, hosted
yesterday
and put together by the Beer Mongers.
Yeah. Was this your first Alleycross?
It was.
It was my first Alleycross.
I think it was everybody's first Alleycross. I mean, well, on our team.
Of the season, for sure, as well.
Well, that's true.
Because there's three of them, and that was the first. But have either of you two ever done alley cross?
No.
Not alley cross, other cross, but...
regular cross?
Regular cross.
Gotcha.
And other
over sanctioned.
And other alley riding.
Oh, yeah. Just regular alley cat, so
okay.
Not
sure.
The combination yet.
So what you do is you take those two and you just kind of push them together. Okay. And then,
nice.
Yeah, that's what we did yesterday. So
yeah, it was two courses. We only ended up doing one, well, twice for the bonus points.
Were there two courses?
Yeah, there was a course at Ladd in the middle. But that was the timed one.
Okay.
You had to be there within a certain point in time. And
I thought it was just showing up and getting a sticker. But
if
there was mud there, too.
No, I thought
too.
There was a course that you had to.
Okay.
So in the actual grass portion.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice.
The first course was in Creston. So we went from here to Creston Park. And there was like a course set up for us there.
Like multiple laps or just one lap?
There was
one
lap in the course in the park there. And then we got our manifest and like everybody took off.
That was
a
nice
trick. If you read carefully, this is nice. If you read carefully, you could do another lap for extra points.
Right. So 20 whole points.
Yeah, a few of us got that.
I never figured out what the actual point total was that we achieved at the end of the day.
You know, I got home and I was like, wait a minute. I don't remember how we did.
How do we place? I don't know. But we had fun.
I was too busy.
That's really the point.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Right. So it was you and I and Adele. And the fun thing was I said right before the event started, I kind of want to do this alone. Like, you know, if you guys are cool with it, because like they hadn't said anything about forming teams or being on a team or anything like that. And so I was like, you know, I think maybe I just want to go out and do this on my own. Are you guys like not offended by that? I hope that's okay. And you were not offended by
that. I was not offended. I will say I was maybe being more polite than I
should
have.
Well, I was going to ask, were you secretly offended?
There was I'm not offended, but maybe I was like, oh, Team Sincerity.
But I wanted to ride
up
with him. Yeah. Okay. So
Team Sincerity?
This is our team.
It's what we call ourselves. Yeah.
It's not too sincere. I mean, I guess if you're telling the truth,
you're telling
you
the truth.
Leave,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
no, that's sincere. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was being sincere about my desire. And
I was not being sincere. Well, I was saying like, yeah, well, that's cool. I'm just going to take this relaxing, which is what I intended to.
Yeah.
Of course, that never actually happens when, you know.
When there's a race.
Yeah, yeah.
And was it a race? I mean, is it fair to say it was an event?
There was a race aspect
to it.
There
were timed elements, yeah.
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 I feel like once you throw in the alley cat portion of the idea,
yeah,
it's just adrenaline.
Yes.
It's more adrenaline
exactly
than it is like, I want a position, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just, go.
Well, and like the first leg from the beer mongers at Southeast Division and 12. All the way up to Creston Park. Like, it's, what, is it like 20 blocks or something like that? Not too far.
No,
like,
not far. What was great was we all, like, took off, and everybody's like, all right, here we go. And then everybody stopped at the intersection. There,
exactly, yeah.
The red light.
Like, go,
just,
go, go, go,
we're
go.
We're like, right, we got across the street.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait, there's traffic. And then, weren't you the one that said, hey, why don't we ride down the sidewalk?
There's nothing stopping us from just rolling down the sidewalk.
Totally legal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the point of the alley cat.
Yeah.
Never possible.
Well, yeah.
Multimodal.
I view it as like a vacation for my normal riding.
Oh, there we
there
go.
You go.
Yeah, just.
When you're usually very like legally compliant
yeah.
and respectful of all local ordinances and whatnot. And then
exactly.
Alley cat or alley cross is like, hey, let's just go out and break some fucking rules.
Yeah. And, you know, with both of those aspects, you always want to be safe because you don't want to get run over.
Right.
So you keep that in there, but you just break rules when you're doing it.
Okay, there we go.
And
well,
it's a calculated risk.
Yeah,
it's a flow state.
Yeah.
And like if it's just a constant stream of highway traffic, you're not going to cross. But
right.
But if it's something you can squeeze into.
Yeah.
Say, for example, there's a bunch of people that don't have their manifest yet and they're all waiting at Powell and 42nd, just hypothetically.
Hypothetically, yeah.
And everyone's like observing the red light and suddenly someone says, fuck this, and they roll. And then the entire group thinks the light turned because they're not looking at the light. They're looking at everything else. And they all roll with them.
Wait, was that me or was that someone else?
Well, I mean, we were all part of it.
Okay, I rolled out. But I rolled out at the crosswalk. And so I was like right on top of traffic and people were honking at me.
So maybe it was you.
I may have given everyone the impression that it was time to go.
Yeah. Well, the great thing was the cyclocross course through Creston Park was like it was a full-on real cyclocross course.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It was
lots of different terrains.
Yeah. There was mud. There was lots of mud. That's not where you got muddy.
That is not where I got muddy.
No.
That's where like my wheels were basically locking up because of all the debris stuck underneath the fenders.
Right, right. And wasn't there that one guy that was like,
well, that's why mountain bikes don't have fenders.
Because we showed up with our regular bikes to do a cyclocross thing.
Well, that's why I don't have multiple bikes.
But it was you did get a flat on that part of the course.
Yeah.
And I got tired. Like super tired.
Man, it was so easy to get winded right there.
Oh man, yeah.
I was really worried because it was our first stop.
Yeah,
and I was like, man, if I'm winded,
how will we finish?
Yeah.
It turns out the rest of the ride was way easier because it was all on roads.
Yeah.
So you did two like little park area things.
Yeah. So there was a little thing in Laurelhurst where you just run up this hill and like punch your manifest.
Yeah.
You know, get with the hole punch thing. And Adele was smart. She got off the bike and ran up with the manifest.
Uh-huh.
I rode my bike up there. And that's where, like my rear wheel, because it just has, like, this road slick on it. Huh? It's just spitting mud everywhere.
Yeah.
And there were these single-gear mountain bike kids rolling behind me. And they're like, oh, we're getting muddy. And it was all in fun. So then I just started screwing around and, like, fishtailing. And my bike did this like 180. Yeah. It was like just and spitting mud everywhere. And then I don't know if this ever happened to you guys where like your tires just stick. And so did this 180 and then like I'm standing still for like half a second and then the bike just goes.
Yep.
I had that happen on a tall bike once.
And that's that I decided to make a mud angel.
Yeah.
There we go. So it was intentional. I mean,
somewhat. Yeah, I mean, the falling down wasn't intentional.
Could you take a picture of that and get bonus points?
Oh, I wish we could have.
That's a good question. You got a lot of props from a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because there, I mean, despite it being like a cyclocross inspired event, there wasn't that much mud on most of the participants.
No.
The bikes were pretty muddy. Like they were just caked and shit, but most of the people were pretty clean.
Yeah.
So you show up with mud on your, like all of your clothes.
Yeah.
I
was in line at Los Gorditos getting a burrito, and there was a couple people that did the course and talking about it. I was like, did you guys win? Just joking. And one of the guys looked at me, and he's like, I think you did.
Yeah. We were talking about how, like, there's so many ways to win.
Yeah.
Because Terry was saying that, you might not finish the course. You might not come back. You might just end up at a bar and be like, hey, we won.
That's right.
Yeah.
We won these beers we just bought.
That's the beauty of Valley Cross. Also, we got to meet the famous Peter Kuntz.
Oh, right.
Wow. Yeah.
Wonderful guy.
Yeah, seriously.
Very friendly.
Employee of a local public government and also a host of transportation trivia.
Do we know which local public government or are we just...
We'll find
just
out.
Just a public government.
We
somewhere.
Might find out because he might be coming onto the show in January.
Right.
So, I'm excited.
So you want to keep it a secret until then?
I think, it's going to be great suspense for everyone.
Yeah.
Which local government organization does the famous Peter Kuntz work for? There's
part
no
of the
possible way.
Government.
Well, yes, exactly. How many governments does he work for? There's no possible way to find that information on the internet.
Because I'm pretty sure he's part of the bicycle lobby.
Yes.
Yeah.
The all-powerful bicycle lobby.
The all-powerful. They've got a Twitter account, so
that's right.
Watch
out. Didn't Earl Blumenauer, Congressman Earl Blumenauer, have that pin on his lapel at one point?
He had the pin. I don't know if that was the official bicycle lobby pin.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Because he definitely has the bike symbol, but I thought he at one point had an all-powerful bicycle lobby pin on his
lapel.
Really? Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not sure about that. Yeah. So anyway,
it seems so.
Yeah. So that was fun. And we've got some audio that we may or may not release depending on how it turned out. But
might just be me yelling expletives because I mounted the recorder on my handlebar bag.
You know that people are going to pay money for that.
Right. It's 45 minutes of Aaron going, shit, fuck, shit. Oh, fuck.
You know, if you're ingenious, you could take that little snippet of audio right there and just kind of cut it out
just
and loop
it
for 10 hours. And then put it on YouTube.
Everyone will like watch it.
You'll make some money from that.
Exactly, yeah. And then we can monetize it. I think we have a business plan. Anything else happened this weekend?
I can't think of it. Oh, I'm moving.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, you tried to drive through a bunch of puddles today.
Fucking A.
Yeah, so much water on the ground. It rained like the equivalent of a season's worth between yesterday and now.
It honestly wasn't bad. Like, it was pouring down. You know, you're in a car, I was in a car. It didn't really matter that much.
Mm-hmm.
Loading stuff up. And it wasn't until after it had stopped raining. and I started going further out of town to like this Goodwill drop-off site.
Oh, yes.
I really noticed how flooded everything is.
You find like all the lakes that are caused by clogged drains.
Yeah, all of these closed roads. I ended up like not even making it to the drop-off site. I took all the Goodwill shit back home.
Just drop it off. Like,
fuck, I got to get this get-around car back soon.
We'll deal with this later.
Yeah.
I was on bike, and it was really pretty shitty.
Oh,
right. Well, you didn't think it was going to be as bad as it was, right? Because we've had a couple rains in the past week or two, and they're all kind of like the light sprinkle that might have one or two occasional downpours, and then it's kind of like lighter. But today it was downpour all day.
Oh.
Yeah, and I just, I feel like I've been pretty lucky in like missing the time when it really, really pours.
Yeah.
But we've gotten stuck in a couple really big dumps this season.
Okay.
This season's been good for that. It seems like it's back to normal in that way. I don't know if that's normal.
Yeah.
Maybe excessively normal.
Yeah.
The point is, we're getting rain.
Yeah.
Which is what Portland's supposed to be getting.
Yeah.
We're getting snow for a while, but not anymore. So that's not really great. That's
not good
really
for the snowpack, but good for for the reservoirs.
Good for now.
I hear it was a Pineapple Express type of rain today, so just warmer in all that sense.
Yeah. Seth Rogen is somewhere up in the clouds, just making it come down.
Uh-huh.
I think that's
how
it works.
That was a terrible movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I've never actually seen it.
Oh, really?
But I do remember that Seth Rogen was in a movie called Pineapple Express.
That's about all I remember.
It was at the Laurelhurst Theater earlier. Well, our second-run theater here in Portland, Oregon. Earlier than you would expect a first-run movie to be in the second-run theater.
Right.
So, yeah. That tells you everything you need to know about that movie, I think. Yeah. Well, let's talk about you guys for a little while.
Oh,
sure.
We had a couple of ideas. Maybe because Cordy is here. What's her full name?
Her full name is Cordelia.
That's a cute name.
Which is a Welsh name. And
well, she also has a middle name.
Oh.
Craithulad.
That's true.
Which is the Gaelic. Isn't it Gaelic?
Oh, something like that. Or
the Welsh. It's like the Welsh pronunciation of the name that has morphed into Cordelia.
Oh, okay.
Wait, say it again.
Craithulad? It actually looks like Cridy Lad. It's kind of spelled really weird, but
nice.
We hardly ever use that. That was just kind of a fun.
I actually forgot about it until Aaron said it.
But Cordelia and Cordy. Yeah.
Cordy the Corgi.
Nice. Yeah. Is she a Welsh Corgi? Is that the tie-in?
Yes.
She's
got
some of that. Mm-hmm. And then some of other things.
Part Cardigan Corgi, part maybe Shepherd, part we're not really sure.
Okay,
she hears her name over and over again.
I know.
She's like, what's going on? Why?
But we got her because she was a good size for biking.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That was an informed decision. It was like, hey, why don't we get a dog that fits on a bike somehow?
Yeah, and we're fans. This is Aaron's first dog, but I've grown up around dogs. And I'm a fan of the medium size or bigger with their personality. That's, I don't know, seems a little more... larger
less,
size.
Less Napoleon complexy.
Yeah. And but with the biking lifestyle, we wanted something that could come around with us and didn't weigh a huge ton.
Right.
Yeah. So. That was one of our big criteria when we were looking for a dog. And it, you know.
And so have you taken her out? I mean, besides like just obviously you're taking her out like in the city and stuff.
Yeah, we camping is one of her most favorite things. And so we've taken her out on a lot of short trips away from here, but also the furthest ones have probably been like to the coast and back.
Oh, nice.
We
did like a 5-day trip. It was 2 days out and then like 2 days or like 2 nights there and then 2 days back.
Nice.
Via Nestucca.
Nestucca
River Road. There's a bunch of BLM campsites along there. So you can kind of like pick which one you want to stay at
And we're
get into a nice like 45-mile day each way, or each day.
That's awesome.
But she comes camping with us quite a bit, and it's just a joy to haul her out somewhere. And going out to Stubbs Stewart, you know how it has a slight incline on that path in the woods?
Yeah. So this is just west of Portland on a nice rail trail conversion.
Yeah. One of the most pleasant rides for beginners to, you know, advanced people to just go out camping close to town.
Or the first time you've ever taken a dog with you? I mean, like, it would be a good place for the first time ever.
For sure.
Yeah, it's about 20 miles if you go all the way out to Hillsboro, which we do. We kind of have taken our bike on the max out to Hillsboro to start off, and then it's like 20-ish, like 23 miles.
Gotcha.
Halfway on the really low traffic country roads and then half on this rail trail. And on the last 5 miles, when it goes slightly uphill, we took her out and had her run alongside this one day.
Oh, there we go.
And it was great, you know, because we're already going a little bit slower, going uphill, and she got a bunch of energy out, and it was wonderful. Mm-hmm. It also happened to be a day where there was hardly anybody else out. Because
it's kind of
it was
a double bonus. So you lose a little bit of weight on the trailer
and
get some energy. Yeah,
that was the big part.
We're starting to figure that out more. Like going up Alameda Ridge, sometimes we take her out and hold her on the leash and have her pull us up. So less weight with us.
You even get a little pull out of it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Does it work?
Yeah. She gets energized to go in the direction we're going.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wait, so because different types of dogs have kind of natural dispositions towards different things. Is she a herding kind of dog?
Yes.
Okay. So if you're going one way, she wants to go that way too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She likes to chase things a little bit and that sort of stuff.
She doesn't try to like corral you on your bikes or anything?
Mm-mm. No.
No, she doesn't have that kind of control that she wants out of it.
But. And because we've raised her so much around bikes, she never like really chases after bikes or anything.
Right. Okay.
She will lunge at cars and everything when she's on leash.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah. And a skateboard. Oh, my God.
She hates skateboards.
Really?
You
damn kids and your skateboards.
Exactly.
Even though I've tried to like longboard with her.
You can longboard with her, but it has like soft wheels, and I think it's somehow different because you're on it.
Skateboard wheels just slap the pavement.
Okay.
That's, you know, that's sort of freaky.
Sure, that makes sense. Right.
Yeah.
So wait, if you're on the longboard with her, is she sitting on the board as well, or is she in your arms or on your back?
Just running alongside.
Okay.
And it allows me to get her some energy out close to home. But
gotcha.
I try to take her to work one day, and that's a 5-mile one-way commute.
Uh-huh. By longboard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or bike.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either one.
Yeah. Or walking.
Mileage
too.
Is still the same.
Yeah.
Hell, you
unless you go unusual routes.
Right.
So she gave up, I don't know, 2-3 miles in, something like that.
Right.
And from there I had to sort of slow it down and sometimes hold her as I was, especially going downhill.
Yeah.
Because her weight helped me.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So, you know,
win-win.
Take advantage of that when I can.
How do you guys figure out, it looks like she has a lead and a harness on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So is that, when you're rolling on wheels, is she like tied to you somehow, or is she running free, or what?
She has connection points.
Okay.
Two points that are connected to the bike, and then it leads up to the harness connection with a carabiner. And that's her little seat belt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. So she's in the bike with that on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you passionate about leash law, or are you grudgingly accepting of leash law?
Or totally
context sensitive.
Because
sometimes it's when it's the expectation in the public to be in an area with your dog's leashed, then it's more about their mentality where they're just gonna like do weird things if they're not like the other dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're all a bunch of leashed dogs and just one unleashed, it would be a weird setting, and vice versa.
But she does pretty well off-leash, so, you know, we have a lot of...
We love that.
Thing you see.
Yeah.
Not so much for, like, walking around on the streets, but in parks or whatever. And so she won't run away from us.
Portland's great, though. We were just recently visiting Seattle, one of my relatives, and they're talking about just how got to watch out for the Rangers and all this stuff and all that. And it's just like, whoa.
The Ranger wouldn't like it, Yogi.
Yeah, we're lucky here
Portland's
for having some
little
elections.
Really lax on enforcement, which of course sometimes we don't like because, like, you know, people don't ever pay attention to parking law, it seems. But then other times we take advantage of it.
Like, right.
With leash laws in the park outside of the dog park.
It does seem like in certain parts of Portland it's really hard to get in trouble for just about anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Unless you're really doing something stupid and you get the cops called on you, but they're just not cruising around. And
a complaint-based system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're also quite privileged, so
that's true.
That is very true.
We are.
Yeah.
I was curious about, do you think there are any parallels between kind of like the conditional leash law and conditional like how you would behave on a bicycle? The parallel just occurred to me that
probably
the way you ride on a bike.
How do you
I
mean?
Would say. Mm-hmm.
Like for example, say hypothetically one was to break laws doing some sort of alley cross event.
Oh, right.
just hypothetically speaking.
Hypothetically.
It seems like that's a time in which, you know, if we're not going to bother anybody and we're not hurting anybody, we might treat that instance differently than we would usually ride. Kind of like if you're at the park with your dog and no one else is around, you might behave differently than if you were walking your dog in the mall or, well, probably not the mole. But, yeah.
Yeah.
And the pearl.
There you sure. Yes. Like there's a nuance to that situation, kind of like there's a nuance to whether your dog is connected to you or not.
Yeah, and I think you can also see some, you know, when you're in an area where most people are obeying the law and someone disobeys, you could get some little yelling going across the way there.
Right,
oh,
right,
right, right.
Civic engagement.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. So full disclosure, is it 2 years ago? We were talking with Lindsay Kendra, and we had a conversation about dogs and dogs not being on leashes and stuff.
Man, that feels forever ago.
It was forever ago.
Were we still in your apartment?
We were in my basement.
Oh, shit. Then that's like 3 years ago.
Something like that, yeah. But, yes, you may have heard strong feelings if you've gone back that far in our archives. So
I did not hear that.
Don't take that as a personal affront on you and your dogs, because okay. I feel like you guys seem like nice people, and it seems like you make good decisions.
Yes, yes. I would say we do most of the time.
We try.
But I'm curious. You guys have a unique bicycle in which she rides.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
We actually now have two. But
really?
Yeah, so one is a front loader cargo bike that we had made by Tom Labonte, tomscargobikes.com.
I was going to ask. Yeah. I thought it was a Tom's cargo bike. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So we just gave him, we found a frame on Craigslist for a couple $100, gave it to him. He chopped it up, built the bike. It's got kind of like a ship sort of front to it. So,
mm-hmm.
And it's got a little shelf for Cordy to put her feet on.
Right.
So because she really likes to, you know, sniff the air and see things,
and lets her be up front, and she gets
yeah, and we can see her. Yeah. And it's really convenient to not use a trailer because you don't have to worry about like hooking it up and unhooking it and make sure everything's locked up and all that sort of stuff.
And twisting around to look and make sure everything's okay back there.
Yeah, yeah, uh huh. And finding the line where you can fit like three or wheels. But anyway, so yeah, so our cargo bike we had built by Tom's Cargo Bikes, and then we worked with Jeff Loughton of Badger Bikes to do the
he's part of the Unicycle Bastards.
Yeah, ooh, he's right. One of the members okay. of the Unicycle Bastards. He lives up in North Portland, and he
great guy.
Did the artwork on the side. So we have this relief wooden panel of a corgi flying over a cityscape of Portland with Mount Hood in the background.
The wooden panel is especially nice. It's yeah. a really classy touch.
It's really nice. Yeah,
he did a great job with that.
Uh-huh.
We sort of threw him the idea, and he took it from there and did everything perfect.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a Tom's too, by the way, and I think we might. Did you guys do the lab to lab ride way back in the day?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I don't think so.
Because that was
3 years ago. Four, yeah. Maybe.
It was a Pedalpalooza event.
The only Pedalpalooza that you were in town for.
Right, right. That's true.
You've been out of town for all the other Pedalpalooza.
I tend to bike tour in the summer when I can get away. And so, yeah, usually.
Well, good for you.
Mm-hmm, as soon as I'm free, it's also Pedalpalooza season. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you drive a school bus, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I drove one today.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that?
It's all right. It's fun. I don't know. I think after all my years on the road, I'm starting to think like I should fight my way up in the ranks and get like a higher paying job where I don't have to drive and be liable for things every day.
Yeah.
I'd rather be liable for like policy, but we'll see.
All
but
right.
Yeah, it's a good job.
I remember you once reaching out to us and saying that you used to see us go across the Burnside Bridge right before 8 a.m.
That's right.
And I feel like that was when we were like, both Aaron and I were really consistent with our schedule of getting there across the bridge at 8 a.m. And then since then, I don't know if I've seen you.
Right, because I would often. Did you guys ever see me?
I think I saw the bus in like retrospect. But,
okay.
Like, I didn't know it was you until you pointed it out.
Yeah.
And then I've been looking and it's like, I don't see the bus going across.
Yeah,
the
every year
bridge.
I have a different schedule.
Oh, so that's why.
I haven't been on the Burnside Bridge for about, you know, 6 months or something.
All right.
Yeah.
That makes me feel better. I just thought like we screwed up our schedule.
No, that's okay. Have you been on the Burnside Bridge recently?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's our new go to bridge.
It was pretty flooded this morning.
Oh, really?
Really?
I mean, not the bike lane was really pretty like
on the east end or the west end
traveling westward, so then okay. north side there was just so much water when I was biking earlier. It was like probably a good inch or so on the side.
I was surprised by that earlier today because the places where you don't expect to see water pooling is like a bridge that's going over water.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I had to kind of forward through one, once in the bus as I was training someone to drive, and then later on the bike, and I had to roll through this big puddle of water because there was no other way to get through or past.
Oh, that's the worst, too.
Yeah.
Have you ever, like, pedaled through water and then, like, on your downstroke, your foot still goes in the puddle?
I was about to today, and then I thought better of it.
Okay.
And then I realized that as I was in the center of the road to kind of be in the shallowest part of the pool, there was also all these cars, like, cruising towards me, possibly about to hydroplane, also, at the very least, about to splash me with water.
Right.
But I was just out of their reach, I guess.
So did you raise your legs up in the air?
No, that would have been the best thing to do.
Yeah.
But I leveled my pedals out, so neither foot was downward.
That's what I usually do, just, like, glide through like that.
Yeah.
Just do these, like, mini pedal strokes, like, click, back, click, back.
Totally. That's why I need special shoes for those pedal situations.
Right. There you go.
I do remember a time years ago when I did actually roll, like, you know, up to my knees, like the puddle was much deeper than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was after riding the Amtrak north up into, like, the King County area.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was on a bike path, like, with no one around. And so I was just there in the dark with insufficient lights, drenched to my knees.
This sounds terrible.
And then I had 10 miles to ride after that. So, yeah. You guys, I was going to ask about the one. What you have, the Tom's cargo bike? The other one was made by who?
Oh, we also have our newest bike is a Civia Halsted.
Okay.
It's a cycle truck.
Oh.
And we got it for a really good deal off of Craigslist also. And we got a basket for the front for her to ride in, for Cordy to ride in. That's a... it's like a car dog seat.
Yeah, a little booster,
a dog seat for
booster,
a,
seat.
Booster seat for a dog for like a car.
Okay.
And
it's rated for auto
they
standards.
Make those
Yes.
That is so interesting.
So one, it's made to be safe for the little dog. It has the seat belt connect to the harness thing as well.
Okay.
Through it. But also it gives them a little view out the window. So that thing though with the elevated platform, we didn't need that.
Right.
So Kirk and John Fritz did some...
Oh, John Fritz from Boat Month.
What?
Yeah.
Snap. Yeah.
We had Boat Month on the Sprocket Podcast.
Oh, Boat Month. Yeah. Yes. Yes, he's big into boats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was helping you with this.
He's
really handy.
He works down at Winx Hardware, so...
And he has a lot of tools and that sort of stuff. So we went over and he and Kirk did a lot of
we just put on brackets
to hold it on and everything,
and
so.
Cut out the little raised platform and just made it so it was a little hole that fit her, and it's all of a sudden
it's like
a car seat made into a bike
contraption.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it's like half the weight of the cargo bike, so
that's fantastic.
We are planning to take it more places for bike touring. That was the biggest driver of getting a new bike.
There we go.
Yeah, so, much lighter, much more.
Only like 9
dependable
speeds, I think. But, you know, it has enough speeds.
If you're going bike touring, I'm assuming this is a point-to-point sort of ride, unless you're starting and ending here?
I mean, both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that could be mostly originating here and ending here is what we would normally do. But,
gotcha.
Yeah, we do a lot of out and back. You know, maybe long weekend or something.
Yeah.
But now we would love to do something longer with her, because otherwise, you know, with the cargo bike, it's a little too much to try to take that like 50 miles a day
for
multiple days.
Big
up
bike.
A mountain.
Yeah.
It's a heavy beast, but this new one does allow for it to be max compatible, so we don't have to, you know, like at the beginning of the show, we talked about breaking rules. Well, you know, we don't want to do that all the time. So with this, it's actually a size of a bike that's manageable and that they would allow. And then I think it counts as the pet carrier.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is actually required,
for pets that are not
service animals. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that would be, the light rail here, they don't let you take unusual bicycles on.
Yeah.
It has to be like a standard safety bike or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So you have one that will convert itself, or you can fold and detach and that sort of thing?
So the cycle truck is basically, I mean, even with the front rack on it, you can like pull it up and like hook it on that.
Actually,
we haven't tried it, but I think
it would do it.
Yeah, it's just kind of heavy in the front.
Okay.
But you can also, there's only 4 screws to take off the whole front rack, and it just comes off really easily if we wanted to do something like that.
And the front rack is connected straight to the frame without dealing with the steering at all. And so when you move the handlebars, the weight and contents on your front rack do not move at all.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so that's really key to this, too.
So no bias to the steering.
Yeah, you're not swinging
around.
Yeah,
and it's not hard on your hands or your wrists or anything like that.
Okay, yeah. Kind of like the Bike Friday that I tried out.
Oh, was that?
Yeah, it had steering was independent of the cargo leather.
It was the really old school Porter bikes were like that.
Oh, yeah.
That was back when they were like hauling, you know, like 50 pounds of newspaper. Right. But it was all like welded to the frame as opposed to the fork.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is rated to 50 pounds, so it's great because she's only like 30. So
we could get a newspaper job if we want.
There you go. Whatever you're doing doesn't work out. Yeah. You can always pick up a newspaper.
So I hear that business is just going like gangbusters.
Oh, yeah, seriously. Print is the new black.
Yeah.
So
newspaper, nothing's going to stop that.
We should mention just briefly that, Aaron, you've been involved with Cycle Wild for quite a while. And we've talked about Cycle Wild before, but it's been a while. So do you want to just briefly say what that is?
Yeah, we are a local bike touring group. Our mission is to reconnect people to nature via the bicycle. So we do a lot of bike camping trips, especially a lot of overnights. We have not yet planned our schedule for next year, but there will be more trips next year.
So stay tuned.
Stay tuned for that. And we also occasionally provide educational workshops for people to teach them how to camp by bike. And once a year we do a week. Well, this is the first time this year in a few years that we've done a week-long tour, but previously it was once a year we would do a week-long tour. So this year we went out to Eastern Oregon or Central Eastern Oregon, saw some of the Painted Hills.
This is where we did a point-to-point trip.
And
it was facilitated by the bicycle concierge out of Oregon City.
Mm-hmm. So he dropped us off in, you're going to have to help me.
Prineville.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've never been on the ground in Prineville, but we were driving through Prineville a couple months or weeks ago.
Yeah, it seems like that's the main thing to do is just
go.
Start there and go.
It was a good place to start.
We did get dropped off at a great place. It's called The Good Bike Shop, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I think that's where the Uncharted Territory, the Grilled by Bike guys spent some time at the Grilled Bike Shop.
Okay. Yes.
And it appears they took over an old gas station. And it's now a bike shop, so that's a great sight to see.
That's redemptive.
Yeah.
Yes.
And inside, they've got just their little bike shop set up and some beers on tap and whatnot. So we grabbed lunch and beers there and then just hit the road after that.
Nice. Right. Yeah. And beer is cheaper than gasoline anymore.
Yeah.
So it's actually a better fuel.
It's absolutely a better fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we bike toured for 7 days through the world.
We went east, but sort of bounced around a little bit to get off of Highway 26 when we could. Fire season was going on at that time.
Yeah.
So we had to sort of watch and change plans because of that.
Yeah. But things had mostly moved through by the time we went through. We were actually out at the same week as Cycle Oregon, but they were over in the Wallawas and they got detoured. But we had steered clear. We had to change our plan. Yeah. We had to change our plan. We were going to go south of the Strawberries and that was not going to work because of the fire there.
Oh, yeah.
So we had to alter the route there and just stay on 26, I think, at that point.
There's a lot of dry tinder in Eastern Oregon.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. This was a bad year for it, too. But I'm glad it didn't completely derail the plans.
No.
So that was nice.
Overall, it was a great trip. Just a wonderful way to sort of reset. Yeah. I like to call it resetting yourself, just resetting your brain.
Yep.
Hitting your reset button.
Yep, your reset button.
Kirk loves his reset button.
Nice.
Aaron always makes fun of me, and now I just say it with a smile because I know she'll just hate me saying that.
I do enjoy that piece of it, though. It's just like the fact that you get to go out and kind of like be alone for a while or as alone as you want to be and in a different setting and in nature with pretty things.
Yeah.
And it's nice going on cycle wild trips because you are with other people. So, you know, you always want to have all your own stuff, but in case you forget anything, then there are people there to help you out or just to have, you know, company.
And to learn. A lot of people learn.
Yeah. And to talk about gear. People love to talk about gear.
Right. Yeah. If you want to talk about
gear. What sort of stove do you have?
For 7 days, go on a Cycle Wild trip.
Yeah.
Sometimes rules are set that no more gear talk for a little
while.
Oh,
there we go. Yeah. I do like the fact that it's set up so that
I'm setting a timer.
10 minutes of gear talk.
Well, if you're not super confident, or if you haven't done any bicycle touring before, this is a great way to get your feet wet.
Yeah, yes. And we try to rate trips as far as like beginner, intermediate, and advanced, so people can know if something is a beginner trip that they will be able to be supported enough to go out on it. So we generally go to Stubbs Stewart every year. We often go to Shampooey. We go to Milo MacGyver.
The classics, the close ones.
The classic, yeah. And I mean, they're great places.
They are.
Battleground Lake.
Battleground Lake's another nice one, yeah. So
MacGyver out by Estacada has actually gotten a lot nicer for bicycle camping because now they have that enormous field.
Yeah, I actually haven't been there since they made the improvements.
It's great.
I got to go to a couple of meetings about it when they were kind of planning things. So it's nice to hear that they finally managed to do that.
Don't they have a solar charger and whatnot?
Previously they had a device there. Yeah. Yeah, they had just like, it was like one tiny spot that was like right next to the garbage dump.
Right. Yeah, and that was my only successful Cycle Wild trip was to that one.
Was it the time when it was everyone like really packed in? Or,
yes.
Oh my gosh.
But it was also a free camping day. The birthday of Oregon State Parks or something. So we all got to camp for free again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And there was cake.
Yeah.
So
cake?
Yeah. The Rangers like brought cake out because it was
that's badass.
State Park birthday. But it's gotten a lot nicer. So Cycle Wild is a great way to experience those sorts of things for a lot of people.
And how many people over the years was it figured out that were like introduced to it? Like hundreds, right?
Definitely hundreds. Yeah. I don't know the actual number right now.
That's okay.
We also have been responsible for many couples and babies.
That is something that I've heard actually.
But we are not just a dating service. We met on a Cycle Wild trip. I was leading one out to Big Bottom Wilderness up in the Clackamas River Valley, and this guy came along, and I thought he looked like somebody else we know when he got off the train. And I was like, wait, I didn't think that guy was coming on this trip. Wait, that's not him. Oh, yes, it is. No. Yeah. No. And then I realized it wasn't him. And it was this new guy. And we hit it off.
Yeah.
And,
you know.
Was this person Lance Poehler?
Yes.
My doppelganger.
You guys could be brethren.
Sometimes we get credited for doing extra stuff. Like, sometimes I get thanks for helping out on Burnside Breakfast on the Bridges.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah,
you guys should swap login info for all the social media.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Is it okay for me to admit that I've made that mistake?
Oh, yeah.
It's been a couple years.
I think everyone makes that mistake.
It's funny how many people like really know them both and will still make that mistake.
Right, right.
I don't want to say names because that would be mean. But sure. It's a pretty common thing.
Well, I think on one day we had came across paths and he admitted that he had been asked how his dog was doing that day. And I was asked how my baby was doing that day.
And neither of you has those.
No, it's sort of a swapped life.
But the respective other does.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody asked you like, oh, how's your baby? You could easily be like, oh, they're talking about my dog.
It's
but
true.
For Lance, if someone asked him how his dog is, that could be pretty offensive. What'd you say about my kid?
I mean, could use different words there too. It'd be even worse.
Yeah. How's the wee one? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a safe thing to say to them. There you go.
Oh, the last thing I just wanted to touch on was, Kirk, you have a fantastic penny farthing.
Thank you.
Where'd you get it? How long have you had it?
I found a place down in California. Can't remember where in California. But they go by Rideable Bicycle Replicas.
Okay.
And they create a bunch of different unique bikes. But penny farthings are their the main things people go to them for, I think.
Yeah.
Just got one of their basic versions. You can be all elaborate as you'd want with, you know, crazy colored spokes. And instead of like a cross weave, you can get the perfectly linear version, whatever. But I was like, I don't know. At the time I wanted a tall bike. Actually, I wanted to do a project, weld together a couple frames.
Sure. Just two frames, one on top of the other.
Yeah, just make a traditional tall bike.
Classic tall bike, yeah.
Yeah, and at the same time, I came across a YouTube video of a bunch of people in London doing a criterium on penny farthings.
Ooh.
Modern day with the whole Lycra setup. I'm not into Lycra one bit, but it was with seeing that, it was like, oh, this is happening today on these bikes.
Now I want to do that.
Now yeah. I want to just ride around on a penny farthing. And it would be like a tall bike, so that gets rid of a.
You should check out this guy by the name of Joff Summerfield. He's doing a world tour on penny farthing.
Wow.
He's British.
He's this British guy. Okay. His setup is really cool, how he's got everything packed onto the penny farthing as well.
I've seen some images of just, people doing crazy stuff, just like quick little videos, but I haven't followed anyone that's done it.
It's pretty cool.
Is it fixed or freewheel?
It's fixed,
okay. So...
Yeah, no brake besides resisting.
You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. And it's easy to just go as hard as you can uphill and just get off when your speed slows down.
Uh-huh.
But
going downhill.
Going downhill, you have to know your limit.
Right.
And because if it's going too fast, you got to know when you just got to push hard to brake and resist and then get off.
Have you ever gone fast enough where you're like, I got to bail?
I mean, I just haven't allowed it to get to the point where I got to bail.
Right.
I mean, I've fallen off the thing, but not on a downhill level.
Two different things.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's very cool. It's
a joy. It brings a smile, many smiles to people's faces.
Yeah, I feel like more people should do something a little bit unique.
Yeah.
And fuck those people that say weird isn't working.
Uh-huh. For sure.
Unless you know one of those people, and then not really.
No, I don't know any of them.
Okay, yeah. Well, do you guys have time to hang out with us for news and mail?
For sure.
Oh, yeah. If you need another beer, help yourself.
Yeah. Is news and whatnot going to last for a little while? Yeah.
Half hour, maybe.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah. Plenty of time for another beer.
Yes.
Yeah. Aaron,
it's going to last all night.
I'm still working on this.
I was wondering how long you're going to keep us here.
There you go. That's what we're known for.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. I like my bike. It's fast. It circles around the city lights. Pedal just as fast as it can into the morning light.
All right. Our one headline.
One headline.
One headline today comes from our Florida correspondent, Johnny K.
Florida correspondent Johnny K., a national treasure, says.
Cycling, why tunnels are better than bridges. This is from the site notechmagazine.com. He sent us a few articles in the past from that.
Yeah.
From that site.
He and Logan are both fans. Logan Smith down in California.
Yeah.
Both fans of NoTech. And I like the name because it's like.
I should get into that a little bit more.
Yeah. Selective use of technology. Like tunnels.
Yes, like tunnels. So this is an article as to, well, it's in the title, Why Tunnels Are Better Than Bridges. And I included a little picture in our notes here of this tunnel going under.
You guys see
and
this
these are right? all in the Netherlands.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Kirk loves the Netherlands.
Quote I pulled out from here is, all crossings in Assen in the Netherlands can be used without slowing down. So there's no longer slowing down for traffic.
Oh, like crosswalks and that sort of thing.
Yeah, like for a crosswalk, it
sure.
all just goes underneath the road.
And it's not like that dumb model in Sun River, Oregon, in which if you go into a tunnel, you have to dismount and walk your bicycle, which I never
really.
I mean, in a hypothetical setting, I'm not saying.
Really?
I respect all ordinances in whatever local place I'm in, but that's a dumb rule.
That is
a
dumb rule, especially in relation to this to this article. The point of this article is saying like how you can, first off, you can make a steeper grade to a tunnel.
Sure.
So when you're going down into the tunnel, you're gaining a bunch of momentum.
Oh, yeah.
That brings you back out
so
a lot easier.
It just has to be like wide enough for you to pass someone at the bottom. I think that's the problem with Sun River. Is that there's
possibly.
Like big corrugated tubes.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine.
Where
yeah.
you can't like safely pass someone else in that tunnel. I mean, you can.
Oh, well, that's just a really dumb idea.
I know.
It's bad engineering.
They got it wrong in the 70s.
But yeah, I mean.
In Sun
it's
River,
a,
not in the Netherlands.
Well, think about it. It's a down and then an up
right.
versus an up and then a down.
Nobody likes that.
Right. So you're like, you're working and then you get a little bit of reward and that's great.
Right.
But as opposed to going down, getting your momentum, and then having that carrying you back up.
It's like you drink a bunch of beers, and then someone offers you cocaine.
Exactly. So you can drink more beers.
Right. Don't do it the opposite way. It's no fun.
Nope.
not speaking from experience.
Yeah, how did we get here?
I don't know.
Downs and ups versus ups and downs.
There you go.
Right,
yeah,
right. Yeah. But that's a great idea. And I love the idea that this is just like, hey, let's not mix modes. Let's have a separate infrastructure. And I don't mind mixing and sharing modes, but I do like it when, you know, like when things are streamlined.
Yeah, and I mean, the point is, like, I like sharing the road as much as well.
As the next guy.
Yeah. Yeah, as much as the next guy. But but in the meantime, like, bikes are not cars. And maybe...
This is true.
Maybe there should be separate infrastructures. Like, there are needs that bikes have that cars can't be able to do. And there are needs that cars have, gasoline, that bikes don't need. Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Perhaps separate infrastructure, maybe not completely, but in some occasions is necessary.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to have different ages.
Yeah, yeah, make cycling, it accessible to, like, yeah, to all
I'm
ages.
Very confident riding in the lane and everything, but I am not a 10-year-old.
Right.
You're and not eight, many, and you're not
How
80.
Many years yeah. have you been biking that has made you so confident?
Exactly, you know? Yeah. There's a lot of history there. It's not, I'm not a newbie or whatever, so.
Right. In no way. We should not call you that.
No.
I'm curious for both of you, both Kirk and Aaron Goodall, where would you put a tunnel in Portland that doesn't have one right now?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, my God.
Like, I would put it on the east side of the Willamette to bury I-5.
Ah.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Not right? a bike tunnel, but, a car tunnel.
Yeah, I would actually prioritize that one before a bike tunnel. But okay. If I did have a bike tunnel, let me think about it.
Yeah.
I do want to point out that... if you're going to do it, you know, like you said, in Sun River, it's maybe not done as well as what we're talking about here in this news article. So one thing to consider, if you're not going to do your tunnel as well, you're going to have some good drainage, or you should have good drainage. Otherwise, a day like today will make that whole tunnel flooded.
Because for auto traffic, well, and actually even for bicycles and pedestrians, the undercrossing at 17th and Powell by the railroad tracks and everything. That gets flooded pretty badly.
Mm-hmm.
The worst wash.
As proof, wasn't that the picture that Eric Iverson took?
Oh, yeah, where the car was stuck and stalled in water because it was too deep. The worst washing I ever got from a passing car was when there was that situation like several years ago. And we were walking from like a bar to the Aladdin Theater to see a band. And, cars were splashing water. Just got soaked, entirely soaked. I think I was pushing my bike.
Oh, that's even worse.
That's why I got washed, that's I think. Terrible. But then my socks were wet for the rest of the night, and I tried my hardest to wear, like, you know, synthetic socks that would dry out and keep me warm, but the Aladdin Theater is a cold place.
Yeah. Theaters, they don't really have the warm area by your feet.
No. Okay, so...
Where would we have a tunnel?
Tunnels. Where do we put the tunnels in Portland?
I don't know.
It's up to you.
I'm just being creative now, and I want to say, like, under Mount Tabor or something.
Under Mount Tabor.
I don't know.
That,
so instead of going up over Tabor, you go underneath Tabor.
I could actually get behind that. Yeah. As much as I love my Tabor climbs.
Yeah. I mean, you want the option sometimes.
Yeah. You know, there are days where I just don't feel like being a hero.
Yeah.
I want a Fellowship of the Ring type theme where it's, speak, friend, and enter. And
so
then you go down, and then there's, like, some, like, monster.
You shall not pass.
Yeah, and then you come out on the other side crying. I think that'd be
because one of you didn't make it.
Exactly. Maybe that did, never mind. It's a bad idea. Okay.
But realistic options.
Realistic options, right? Yeah, Aaron Goodall, do you have one in mind?
I was thinking under the West Hills, but that's kind of, you know, I don't know. That's a little long.
I mean, they did for the Max.
They did. I know. I was thinking of that one, but then I think you end up kind of high. When you get, I was thinking, like, if we could just go through the Max tunnel, but they could probably go straighter
for longer. They could just
widen
that tunnel, right?
I'm sure. Yeah, that'd be really cheap.
Yeah.
Right. We could build another tunnel with a correct representation of the number pi on the wall, as opposed to the incorrect number pi that's down there in the Washington Park Max station.
Oh, I didn't know they had that.
It's incorrect.
I can't remember how many places out it goes, but however many places out it goes, it's
too many.
Incorrect.
Too many.
So I remember, I know this is off topic.
I have no idea.
I remember seeing a song where someone assigned the piano keys numbers.
Ooh.
Just, you know, 0 through 9.
Uh-huh.
And they had their left hand just do chords, and their right hand was following the different number pattern of pi.
Of pi.
And so it was the Song of Pi.
Really?
Yeah.
That I want to look that up now.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's on YouTube, I swear.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
10,000 hits.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think I would go underneath Powell somewhere because Powell is
Powell.
One of the biggest
yeah.
boundaries that I have to cross every day that I hate crossing.
Yeah. And, yeah. and it's surface level, so it's not like you'd have to bury far. It's...
Yeah, and a lot of people have gotten hurt there.
Yeah.
So we could probably drum up funding for that sooner than other places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually just kind of avoid Powell, but I live up in the Northeast, so I don't have to go across it very
right,
often.
Right, right, right.
I've had to go to Hopworks a couple times recently because they were...
You had to go.
I did have
had to.
To
drink
yeah,
beer.
It was terrible. Yeah, they were sponsoring the organization I work for.
Yeah,
those bastards.
And they even had to give you free beer.
they had to give me free
those
beer.
Those sons of bitches.
It's terrible. But it's a really terrible crossing.
We're going to name them tonight.
Yeah.
Name shame.
Awful. No, but they're right on Powell, and it's right across at a really terrible place to try to cross.
So yeah, yeah.
Each time, you know, I was on bike, and I finally just decided to go down to, there's a marked crosswalk, which makes you feel a tiny bit safer, but not really going across Powell.
Right.
Because people are not really
they're
looking
They're not
out.
Always paying attention.
No,
yeah.
and
people
it's
don't
like
care.
Five lanes, I think, with the middle, maybe.
Yep.
But yeah,
yep, with
so,
the left turn. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
big
that's,
street.
At least up, I mean, we have to cross a couple roads to get home, like Killingsworth and Prescott, but those are two lanes. They're really, really tiny.
And I really hope that it never comes to be that they choose to widen, like Killingsworth or something, you know?
Yeah.
In the name of what Portland wants.
That would
be a bad choice.
Terrible option.
Especially given the name.
Right. You know, I was thinking about that the other day. It's a scary name.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's named after some, like, famous person, right?
But
probably.
So
probably,
we
but that's
can't
not one
criticize
that I know.
It too much.
Colonel John Killingsworth.
That's right.
I don't know.
Precisely. Colonel.
Just after Colonel Summers.
Yes. And Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, they all hung out here.
Yeah.
So
would you build a tunnel direct to Hopworks underneath Powell? Is that
what there you go.
I think I would build a tunnel directly to work because
yeah.
work is
that makes sense.
Work is lower in elevation than where I live.
Yeah.
So I would build selfishly a tunnel from like
everything
the Mount Scott
Arleta
neighborhood. And it would just kind of gradually descend through whatever is in the way between work and me.
Yeah.
And then there'd be like a nice little ramp that went from there down to work, like wherever it pops out of the ridge. So I think, I would just coast all the way to work and then I could have a nice even ride all the way back up.
Yeah. And what area town are you coming from, you said?
I'm coming from Mount Scott Arleta.
Okay.
So, yeah. A 12-mile tunnel, please.
Yeah, yeah.
Please build that for me.
I mean, I think all requests should be considered.
So. I think they should.
Yeah.
we can move the sewer lines, seriously.
Yeah. The big dig? No.
Yeah. All right. We don't have tunnels, but you know what we do have?
What do we have?
What do we have?
We got bridges.
All right, so mail.
Wow.
First up, comments from episode 269 from Johnny K.
Florida correspondent Johnny K.
I was pulled over once for lane splitting here in Florida. Oh, yeah, that was the episode we talked about lane splitting.
Oh, yeah, just last time, yeah.
The officer said the reason he pulled me over was because there was not enough room for both cars and my bike in the lane, which I would agree with the officer's words, but maybe not with his sentiment.
There's not enough room for both of us here.
Yeah.
This town ain't big enough
That's
for both
right.
of us.
And then in comments to our news article that week about the Michigan native who got a free car from some very magnanimous people.
Right.
He says, for $18,000, they could have gotten him an electric velomobile instead. At least that would be something he could afford to keep. Instead, they gave him three extra bills he didn't have before. Mm-hmm. Way to go, Michigan.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Right. Yeah. What did you think?
I mean, yeah, similar thoughts. Just it's good to give a gift, but if it's a gift that requires you to then start paying something.
Give the gift of
debt.
You know what it
reminds me of right now? Now that we've kind of been talking about that, is the whole Extreme Home Makeover?
Oh
thing
yeah,
where, like they take some family who's like kind of struggling, their house isn't in great shape, and then they like redo their home, and like it's like now their dream home. But what doesn't get put on the air is like now their homeowner's insurance goes up. Now the property value goes up. So probably their property taxes go up. And I mean, I don't have any numbers. And I just heard like a lot of people end up having to sell that house.
Mm-hmm. Because they can't afford to
pay. Because they can no longer afford to live there. Yeah. Move that bus, but put me in there because I can't live here anymore.
Wait, are they thrown under the bus as the bus is moved?
Maybe. In a way, I guess they are. Yeah. Yes.
Also, excuse me, I'm sorry. Also, Ty Pennington doesn't seem like that fun of a person to hang out around.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
So I had a question about the first part of that question.
Yes.
Or the mail, I should say. The lane splitting issue that you were discussing, was that allowed for motorcyclists?
In Florida, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
But our next piece of mail talks about Oregon splitting.
Okay.
And this would be from Chris in Colorado, who I didn't get, but I'm assuming was a Portland native at one point.
Oh, yeah. He and I used to work together.
Oh, okay. Right on. I have exciting news, he says. This is the first piece. I have exciting news. The Lawrence Arapahoe Street protected or has street protected bike lanes. They are open. And yes, I met the mayor and got a photo in my bike getup. Get out here, he says.
Okay.
I guess that's an invitation.
We're on our way.
Yeah.
And then the comment on our podcast, motorcycle lane splitting is explicitly illegal in Oregon. And he cites a law there.
You can't
for us.
Do it here.
Got a ticket for it while in Tigard on my motorcycle. Motorcycle lane splitting is not illegal in California and is tolerated. That said, I split lanes while on a motorcycle for several years in Oregon and only got busted once while in the progressive and tolerant city of Tigard.
I was going to say again, well, that's obviously a joke, I think.
Yes.
did you know officially Tigard's claiming that they want to become the most walkable city?
Are they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to get there, but
they have a cute downtown and they have West Commuter Rail.
Yeah.
Banned
so
cars.
Maybe they will get there. Yeah. That's how you get there overnight.
It's a real easy way.
Yeah.
Also, like we were talking about earlier, you can get away with anything in Portland.
That's
He
chose the right place to lane split.
He also mentioned Senate Bill 694 would have legalized it in Oregon on the highways, but it went nowhere after hitting the House. As for on bicycles, that's up to you guys to discuss there in Oregon. It's fine, but don't run a stop sign in Ladd's Edition. The cops will get you.
It's been known to happen.
Yes.
Yeah.
I always wondered with the alley cross going through Ladd's if anybody got, because there's always talk of like every now and then a sting will happen.
Now, the stings usually happen during like the rush hours, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So you can get away with anything.
Well, sure,
in Ladd's.
But for whatever reason, like I could see someone in the police bureau be like, hey, there's an alley cross going.
Yeah.
We should get out there. We'll get a bunch of them.
Right.
all the bad ones.
All those bad ones.
that was the question we were asking too. Is I wonder if people do alley cross on Sundays because that's like the quietest day of the week.
I imagine. So.
Yeah, it seems like it would be a logical choice.
The way you probably
whoever
get
they are
a little less angst.
Let's pat them on the back.
Yeah.
Also, just because that's the day people have off.
Oh,
I mean, really.
Totally. Yeah. Like, we're being realistic, yeah.
Yeah. But it helps to have light traffic.
More working class alley cross racers have Sundays free than any other. Any other day of the week.
Right.
Is that a fact?
Yes,
it is now.
That's an undisputed fact here on the Sprocket Podcast. You can take it to the bank. We got
this
one more piece
of mail.
This has
been Facts with the Sprocket Podcast. This is from Glenn in the Salish Sea. Portland being so full of vegans. Oh, this is in relation to our title of last episode.
We are
David
full
Robinson,
of vegans.
David Robinson, H-D-.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Portland being so full of vegans and all, I thought perhaps you were censoring Hunt's deer. We simply slaughtered one turkey for Thanksgiving. We've got a few more for Solstice, Christmas, and in the freezer.
That's right. That's our pirate friend up in Washington State.
Yeah.
Except it's not Washington State to him. It's the, Cascadia or whatever.
He says Cascadia in the Salish Sea.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we're part of Cascadia then, too.
We are.
So we're part of his...
Yeah, his sort of bio region.
Yeah, for sure.
Totally. I'd like to think we're neighbors in a way.
Yeah.
Especially, did he put any sort of awesome sign off on that one? Like
he did. I didn't add it on here.
I'm a scalawag or something. All right.
Do we have a theme for the night?
That's a good question. Usually, someone comes up with it.
Usually, our guests.
Should we do like some kind of voice or theme for these credits that we're about to read?
Oh my God!
That's a big question.
It is.
Like a character, you mean?
Yeah. Or a pastiche.
Or a pastiche character.
Or a character of pastiche.
What about Yogi Bear? I don't know.
Oh, really?
We can do Yogi and Boo Boo.
those are like the same voice, just
Kirk
in different
options,
right?
Kirk may have another suggestion, Adam.
No, Boo Boo was like all whiny and everything. He was like, I don't know, Yogi.
Yeah, okay, that sounds, yeah, right. And Yogi Bear was, I think I could do Yogi.
As long as we don't have to take part.
No, yeah.
Yeah,
otherwise I retract that.
Yeah.
Ooh, this Yogi is a PSA, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You'll have to turn it.
Oh, great, just great. Went to bed early, took a swim, climbed a tree.
Swept your lair and breathe clean air.
You had breakfast?
Great, just great. Ate just about everything on my plate. Berries, nuts, honey, fish. Took a little run.
Over to the camp?
To see what people are up to.
Like what, boo-boo?
Smoking cigarettes.
Breathing smoke? Oh. Well, we sure won't.
Smoking's really bad for you. That's why people need doctors and bears don't.
That's why people need doctors and bears don't.
Love it.
That's fantastic.
I'm so glad I came across this.
Me too.
I'm going to be watching this on days that I just, you know, feeling a little low. That's why bears have doctors.
That's going to help me bolster my resolve. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
There you go.
So you'll go down then up, right? Not up then down. That's the preferred way.
And that is what we call a callback.
That's right. All right. We ready?
I think so.
Okay. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text 503-847-9774.
Twitter @sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herbert for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadowfoot,
Katharina Millamgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lean, Richard Brzezinski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood,
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Knows,
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkinson, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole,
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson,
Drew the Welder, Anna Krista Skukas,
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, Shelly and Troy,
King of Division, Josh Disson and Richard G.
Now everybody go to bed.
And brush your teeth. Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Actually, I wasn't ready. I'm sorry.
I thought you were. You looked ready.
I was going to quick try to like find a YouTube video of Yogi and nice. Boo Boo.
I mean, feel free if you
try to hear their voice.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it would help me.
Okay. That's how we were able to do Dueling Goldblum well.
Oh, right. Yes. So well. You have no idea.
What was that?
Jeff Goldblum from Jurassic Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that all you have to go off of?
And the recollections of our childhood.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't even really remember.